We're talking today with Julie Kelly. Julie is a food writer. She's a cook, a cooking instructor, a blogger, a mom. And Julie, if you know, I guess what, in 2015 or 2014, you really got interested in this issue of GMOs, didn't you?
I did, Ron. It's just really been over the past year, I've taken the time to educate myself about genetic engineering and GMOs. As you said, I'm a food writer and a cooking teacher, and these issues just started to spark my interest. And as I looked more into it and beyond some of the misinformation that's out there and the huge potential about genetic engineering, particularly with agriculture and our food supply, I felt compelled to write about it and especially try to communicate to other moms like myself who might be getting the wrong information and kind of falling for this fear campaign that has been underway the last several years about this technology.
You had a chance to get on a fairly significant platform in the Wall Street Journal here just the last few days, an editorial comment that you were able to write in regards to 15 really turned out to be a year that we probably made some progress in getting education out on GMOs.
I think so, and I think a lot of people who have been involved in this field a lot longer than I have been kind of sense a little bit of a turnaround here for a few reasons. One is the CRISPR-Cas9 technology that I briefly touch on in the Wall Street Journal article, and this is this amazing technology where scientists can edit genes that are either defective or that allow viruses to manifest, and it's now being, there's experiments underway in plants and animals that could help prevent the spread of viruses, prevent the spread of crop diseases. It's really, the potential there is truly remarkable. And so that was one great point about 2015. I think also the FDA approving the Aqua Advantage salmon, which is the first genetically edited animal set for human consumption, and that allows for an Atlantic salmon to be to grow in about half the time as usual and not in the wild and contain tanks, so it alleviates a little bit of the environmental burden. The USDA in 2015 also finally approved the Arctic apple, which is two varieties of apples that have just a few genes switched off, the genes that allow or cause an apple to brown when sliced and to bruise. So that should be available to consumers in the next year or so. And then also, you know, you need a few breaks whenever you're on a campaign or you're in a battle like this. And I think Chipotle, what unfolded for them in 2015, hopefully let consumers take a second look at what we're being told in terms of organic, locally sourced food and obviously GMOs. They have been on an anti-GMO crusade for the last few years. Farmers out there probably know that Chipotle has also really vilified conventional American agriculture and in a way that really just put a finger in the eye of millions of American farmers for no reason. So to kind of see the struggles that they have endured towards the end of 2015, you know, we hate to see people getting ill from eating food, but, you know, it's nice to see the Chipotle executives kind of have to eat their lunch too. And trying to scare people that GMOs are unsafe when really they needed to worry about the safety of their own food supply. So all of these factors kind of coalesced, especially towards the latter half of 2015. And I'm hoping that consumers, especially moms like me, will take a step back and just take a closer look at some of these issues and not believe a lot of the misleading marketing tactics that are being used to scare them.
I know that you know, going back and looking at some of your previous blogs, you had actually kind of sworn off Chipotle as well as Whole Foods because of their GMO stance several months back.
I did, back in April after Chipotle made their announcement, and you know, I was at Chipotle probably once a week. I've got teenage girls, and I was a Whole Foods shopper as well. So Whole Foods is also decided that they will label all GMO foods, I believe, in 2017. And Walter Robb, who's one of the CEOs of Whole Foods, and Whole Foods the company has funded various GMO labeling campaigns, the statewide referendums, particularly in California. So they are on the anti-GMO kick as well. And so I thought, well, it's not going to hurt them, but I'm certainly not going to be spending my money somewhere that is really at these companies who are funding anti-GMO, the anti-GMO movement, and really misleading consumers at the same time. So I've been writing about this since the spring.
Right. You mentioned labeling. This is a part of the overall battle that folks that are trying to basically, I think, one of the phrases that I've heard a lot of people use, put that scarlet red letter on mm-hmm. GMO products. We're down to probably what in early 2016, some sort of a showdown, probably in the Senate. It looks like right now, of course, the House has already passed a bill that would mandate a national standard on labeling and get away from these state by state patchwork things that are being, you know, pursued by a lot of folks that are in the anti-GMO community. Are you hopeful that we'll see some sanity, you know, out of Congress on this?
Yes, hopeful is the word. I guess we can always be hopeful. It was, and I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, the House passed House Resolution 1599, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Law, back in July. The Senate did not act on it before the end of the year, so they will be revisiting that in January. I still have some concerns about it. It looks like they're moving towards the so-called smart labeling, which is also backed by the Grocers Manufacturers Association. And it will allow consumers to look up a variety of information off of a smart label, off of a code, really, that you can look up on your smartphone to get all kinds of information. The problem is that you are still going to be labeling foods as genetically modified or genetically engineered. But what does that really mean? I mean, even the FDA, and this was another win for our side, so to speak, the FDA is putting forth voluntary guidelines for industry about GMOs, and that's really a marketing term. They even call into question, and this is the FDA, the use of organism, because it's really not accurate. So the FDA is suggesting that companies should label their products either not bioengineered or not genetically engineered. It still doesn't really tell consumers anything because there's not really a difference between, say, a ruby red grapefruit that has been genetically modified over the years through radiation or through, say, an Arctic apple that has just been, as I said, have a few genes turned off. So it's still, I'm still afraid that even this smart label will allow food companies, and this is organic food companies mostly, to still vilify what is really a great technology. And I think that's overall my concern, is that these labels prevent people from looking past the label. What does it really mean for our food supply, for the nutritional value of food, to end food waste, to stop farm animals from getting sick? It just, I think, more or less still feeds into this bad information about it.
I know that, down through the years, and this is not a new battle, but down through the years, it seems like there's been that mystic, almost a mystical type attitude of, boy, you know, it would be great to get back to that natural, wholesome food that that granddad produced all those years ago, and anything newer than that, as far as our food is concerned, is bad, but we're going to look up the information on it on our smartphone. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And, you know, this whole, and I even talked to friends of mine who talk about the naturalness of food. And as soon as you start really delving into it, I mean, nothing is really in its original state. Everything has been modified over time to great benefit of us. But I think, you know, we're a wealthy, affluent nation. We have more food choices than any other country on the planet. We have a safe food system. It's affordable. It's diverse. We spend the least amount of money, households disposable household income on food than any other country in the world. But yet somehow people want to make this a bad thing. And natural is not great. I just talked to my 92-year-old grandpa a few months ago about it. He was raised on a farm in Louisiana, and he told me how difficult it was. You know, they ate meat once a year because there was no way to freeze meat or to store it. And they had to can vegetables because even in Louisiana, you went 6 months without fresh fruits or vegetables. And you had to work on the farm every day. So I don't know who these people are talking to that think, you know, 70 years ago or how our grandparents lived and ate was great, because that certainly was the impression I got from my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And he was in the food industry his whole life too. So, people are busy, moms are busy, they're running around with kids. They really don't even have that much time to cook as it is, and that's why I started teaching cooking classes. But to add this burden of fear and misinformation on top of that, it just stops people from doing what they really need to do, which is just cook dinner for their families a few times a week. But they're so paralyzed by fear that they're going to serve the wrong thing or cook it in, you know, cook something the wrong way. They're going to poison their families. They're going to cause all kinds of health problems. It's really outrageous, I think, what's happening.
Julie, one last question. As you look into the new year, we're starting 2016 now. What do you think? What's going to be the discussion regarding GMOs? What is your hope regarding this whole conversation?
My hope is that what I see is this kind of collision course between science and agriculture versus the organic industry-funded anti-GMO movement will kind of finally come to a head. And the media actually needs to step up and do a better job with this too, because there's no logical, rational reason to continue to demonize this technology that has so much promise and potential. And I'm really hoping that the organic industry and the executives who are funding the anti-GMO movement are called out finally and made to answer these questions, that how can you have a technology that really addresses most of your agenda, whether it's environmental concerns, the health and welfare of animals, the nutrition of food, limiting food waste. You have a scientific technology that can address and help solve a lot of those issues. Why do you continue to demonize it? Because they need to do it to increase their market share. And that's the bottom line. So I'm sensing in 2016 that this will finally come to somewhat of a head and make these people answerable for the things that they're saying and how they're really vilifying this technology.
Thank you, Julie. Julie Kelly, who lives in the state of Illinois in the Chicago area with her family, a couple of daughters. She's a mom. She's a blogger. She's a food writer. She's a cooking instructor. And she cares a great deal about the ability of agriculture to utilize this technology that she believes is making food better for us all. By the way, if you want to follow her on Twitter, you can do that, Julie, J-U-L-I-E, underscore Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 2. Julie Kelly. Appreciate her time today. And that's your farm news. Ron Hayes on the Oklahoma Farm Report.